Blog Talk Radio.
Let's Talk Truth is designed to shine a light on that part of us that's hidden deep within us, and it stunts our growth. Truth is only truth if it lines up with the Word of God. Otherwise, it's merely our appearing, our appearing, our appearing.
If you really wanna talk, then let's talk truth. Hey. Any situation that you face can be talked through. No problem too big, there's no problem too small at all. Trying to maintain to keep from smashing through a wall. Heavy load up on your shoulders, trying hard not to fall. Situation after situation, throwing curveballs. Got you worried about your job, a word about your kids, a word about the things people said or what they did. Your husband ain't doing right, or maybe it's your wife, 'cause they let the devil step in and creep up in your life. Hey, L-O-I-C-E, come and help us out, please, 'cause we all in desperate need and need to learn to plant our seed. We gotta grow as a...
Good evening, everyone. It is so good to have you join our show today. This is Lois Book, and this is Let's Talk Truth. And we're here today to just have another dynamic show. And prayerfully, you will be blessed through this show. Not only blessed, but our shows are done so that we might provoke something in you that makes you want to speak out against things that happen on a day-to-day basis that we don't have always the opportunity to address. Today, we're going to be talking about, "And I Call You Friend." And we all have our different ideas about what a friend is. And before we go into the depth of our program, I want you to know that you can call in and listen to our show live by dialing area code 323-580-5712. You can also, after the show, you can catch on my blog page, which is www.loyce.blogspot.com. You can always go on there, find some little inspirational thoughts for today, and also listen to each show for the week. So we want to make that available to you. You're also welcome to send us emails. And we'd love to have your feedback through our emails. Send it to Let's Talk Truth 333, and that's Let's, L-E-T, without the apostrophe. So L-E-T-S-T-A-L-K-T-R-U-T-H 333 at yahoo.com. Want to make sure you absolutely feel comfortable in writing us, giving us your thoughts on any subject that we have, because we don't... Please don't think that we think we're the only ones that know the truth. We're not. But we do want to offer different scenarios that might lead us to the truth within ourselves. And also, I want to, we do have a phone number. If you want to call and leave a message, I'll be happy to call you back at 469-554-0337. Make sure you call in and that's a Google phone number. You can call and leave a message, and we'll get it back in touch with you. As I said before, our show, Let's Talk Truth, hopefully they're thought-provoking. And we want to provoke thoughts within you that make you want to come in and reassess the way we've been thinking over our entire lives. Sometimes we've been thinking things and we're still in the same predicament. We think the same things over and over again, and we don't see our lives changing. We don't see things changing around us. And that's one thing that I have come to know the truth. If we change within, everything around us changes. So we want to always change for the positive, because you can change for the negative, and you can find yourself being involved in negative people around you. So with that said, we want to also let you know that Let's Talk Truth, we're not here to preach to you. We're not here to, because I'm almost positive everyone that's listening or will be listening have your own pastors, teachers, whomever that you might share truth with. But the way we lay things out, We know that there's only one truth, and that's God's truth. So everything that we do is going to ultimately be encompassed in Christ. So that's how we have to make sure that that goes. Now, our show today, and I call you friends. Let's Talk Truth is going to explore the art of being a good friend. And so as we get deeper and deeper into this, ask yourself, which category do I fall in? We will explore the art of being a good friend. And listen to this. Of all the reasons that I attach myself to you is one of the reasons because I am your friend. We're going to examine the different effects that a friend can have on everybody's everyday life. One question stands out because some people think that they can do things by themselves. But one question that stands out for everybody, does everyone need a friend? And if so, how would you rate as a friend? How would you rate as a friend? Because believe it or not, the way you rate determines, I believe, the friend you're going to have in your life. We have several guests here today, and we are so grateful and thankful that they took time out of their busy schedule to come into the studio and to enjoy this segment of our program. And these are dynamic people. They speak their minds. They say what they believe to be the truth. But at the end of the day, we're all going to make it to one summation to say, is this really a Let's Talk Truth scenario and how it's going to play out? We thank Dejon Goodson for being here. He is our young person, our young man, and he is very young and has not lived for as many years to be as cynical as some of the old people are. And so he, I believe, will understand his thoughts on being a friend. And then some of the older people here can also shed some light on something that he has to say or he feels that might help him to develop into being a better friend. Because we all don't come into this world knowing how to be a good friend. It's our day-to-day process, our day-to-day teaching, and our day-to-day walks that causes us to become good friends. So, Dejon Goodson, thank you for being here. And we have Shannon. Shannon is a person who speaks her mind. Now, I have to tell everyone, Shannon is very seldom wrong in what she says. She just has to mature on when to say it. So we have that. She is awesome with the truth. She puts the truth out there. But sometimes, you know, it's not the time to say it. And she doesn't have that filter to say what to say and what not to say. I know her very well. I've known her since she was a baby. So I feel I can get away with telling her what an awesome person she is and that she this Let's Talk Truth show is going to eventually teach her how to filter what she says. And then again, we have Louise. Louise is a dynamic person. She has a lot of insight. She very seldom speaks, but when she does, it's really sound. So we thank her for being here, and she doesn't mind coming by and, you know, just giving us what she has to offer. And then my dear friend, the one that's here to support me all the time, and Mr. Motivator. Mr. Motivator stops by. He does, like I say, he does motivational speaking. He absolutely motivates you into getting up and doing what you're supposed to do. He's an author. He's an educator. And he's a stand-up comedian. So throughout our show, we try to temper him so that he won't crack a joke on my show. This is Let's Talk Truth. We're not doing comedy, but he's going to ease one in there. And I want to say something very positive about him. He is the author of a book, and it's entitled Success is an Attitude. And he shared that book with a friend of mine who read it in a matter of hours. As soon as he got it, called me back and said, listen, I have absolutely been motivated to get up and do something with myself. Because the person that read it is very knowledgeable, very talented, but had kind of, you know, just like gone to the house and sat down to retire. And how many people really realize that once you retire, you can't retire what's in you to do. And so you need to be motivated to know that you can get up and do this. So that's what Mr. Motivator does, hence the name Motivator. So thank you. Let's give all of our guests a hand. And we are going to start, and you know, anybody who wants to jump in there, I have a series of questions that I want to put before the panel today and let you answer it, because I believe that people take the word friend too lightly. When you say friend, you are talking about somebody. Those are big shoes to fill. And we often, I don't know those of you that have children, how many times have you told your children when they come home from school at a young age, my friend did say so-and-so, and how many times have you told them, girl, boy, you don't have friends, you have associates, because you know that it has to, something has to really be in the heart of a person in order to call them a friend. So first of all, let me get y'all's your take on what is a friend. What do you think a friend is, Dijon?
Someone who you can trust to do about anything for.
Okay. So he says that trust word. Who wants to be next? What is a friend?
I would say a friend is someone that's very supportive, someone to encourage you as well as you the same way with them.
Mm-hmm. Louise?
Okay. A friend is a person that encompasses a lot of things, like trustworthy. There's someone that you can build a relationship with. They serve as a confidant. And also, there's someone that's going to be with you for the long haul.
Okay.
Sometimes friends come and they go, but that true friend going to be there with you for forever.
Okay. Come on, Shannon.
I think a friend to me is a person who will be there for you, good, bad, ugly, or indifferent, but is not afraid to tell you the truth. Not agree with you just because you're my friend. Tell you what's really the honest-to-God truth versus what they think you want to hear.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I agree with everything you guys have said. And so many times I have seen people, I have been around people who say, well, that's my friend. And, but, you know, I don't want to be friends with them right now because they made me mad. Or, you know, you feel like because people don't go along with you and every don't agree with you that they are not your friend. And what do y'all think about that?
To me, a friend is kind of like a sibling that was not, you know, related to you by birth. You know, when you have a brother or a sister and you're little, I don't want to watch TV. No, I don't want to watch it. You'll argue, you'll do whatever. I'm not talking to you for the rest of the day. But at the end of the day, you're going to love and hug on your brother or your sister. Same thing with a friend. Me and my friend can have a falling out. And, you know, not really falling out, but, like, we disagree. And because of pride and other things that we carry, we get mad. I'm not talking to them. And they, hey, girl, what you doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to let that go. If you can hold on to something or you continue to, you know, if you can't sit down and analyze and realize if that person is your true friend, you have to take what they say and really kind of listen to it. Take it in. Because a person who is your friend is not going to tell you anything that's going to hinder you, harm you, or belittle you or hurt you in any shape, form, or fashion. So, I mean, that's just my depiction.
Do you all believe that? Do you absolutely believe that people have true friends nowadays?
No.
I think That's a yes and no question. I believe that sometimes we have friends in our lives, but oftentimes some of us don't, we abuse that friendship because we want a friend to be there for us, but some of us, we don't want a friend, we want a yes person.
Mm-hmm.
We want a second fiddle. Hey, I thought of this. Oh, it's great. I'm the most beautiful lady on in the area on earth.
Well, yes, you are, Tracy.
Yes,
you're
you
gorgeous.
Are. Okay, and you want a friend that will lie to you and agree with you on everything, and because you can't take the, as the man said in the movie,
you
can't handle the truth. And some people can't handle the truth. They can't handle constructive criticism. They can't handle any kind of criticism. They want everything to go their way. They got to be right on everything.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, they drive away good friends who want to be there for them, who want to be honest and tell them the truth.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't want that.
Well, that's because on the same hand, they don't know how to be a true friend. People
mm-hmm.
use a lot of different words out here very loosely.
Mm.
A friend.
Love.
If you know, because a friend and love go hand in hand. You have to love me to be my friend.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like a lot of people just think because we're acquaintances, or for those of us who are young and just not as grounded in the Lord, we might go out, you know, and do things like that. If you go out with your friends, you can, oh, we're going to dinner, or we're going to the club, or oh, we're traveling to France, or we're doing this. That doesn't mean that's your friend.
Mm-hmm.
That means that could be a good acquaintance that you hang with.
Yeah.
But as far as using the word friend, to me, a friend is if it's 4 o'clock in the morning and I have diarrhea and I've thrown up in my hair, you're going to help me wash it out of my hair and you're not going to laugh about it and tell everybody, girl, she had threw up everywhere, all on her hair, taking pictures, putting it on Facebook, you know, making a mockery of you. That is not a friend. A friend is somebody who's going to be there. I don't care what the situation is.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be there. And if you're wrong, your friend is going to say, let you have your moment. And come to you and say, you know what? Come on now, you knew you were wrong for that.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you even do that? That's not even your character. They will help you bring you back to who you really are.
Mm-hmm.
People use that word so loosely. It annoys me
mm-hmm.
because to me, words mean a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people, we learned a long time ago when I was in school about love languages. And people have different ways of communication.
Mm-hmm.
Some people have to communicate through giving. Some people communicate through touch. Some people communicate vocally. Me, I'm a vocal person. How you talk to me and what you say to me is very important. Very important. I don't care what you buy me. It doesn't matter to me. I'm not materialistic at all. But how you talk to me and what you say to me. So if you tell me that you're my friend, I'm going to look for you to be my friend.
Mm-hmm.
And when you don't, when I was younger, it used to devastate me. I would tell my mother all the time, but Mom, you know, she said she was my friend and we did this. And I'm crying. My feelings are hurt. But I had to sit down and realize one day when I came into knowledge, when I really listened to what my mother would tell me, the people that I say are my friends, it's because I may feel like a friend to them. It does not mean that they're a friend to me. And I have to look at it both ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if we start with our younger generation to kind of train them on what's on the little behaviors, like if you know that's Susie's crayon, why would you hide Susie's crayon? But we just, give me that, I'm going to put it back. No. You make her, if that's you tell your daughter, if that's your friend, you take Susie her crayon back. But we stop instilling what a friend is supposed to be or behaviors and mannerisms. And so we've all gone awry. And people who want yes men beside them, they don't know how to be a friend either. So I wouldn't even trust them. I didn't want to be their friend.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. Let me say this. I looked in Webster.
Okay.
To find the definition of a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And friend used as a noun, for all of you English buffs, is a person attached to another by feelings of affection or personal regard.
Mm-hmm.
A friend, number two, is a person who gives assistance, a patron, or a supporter. I believe, Mr. Motivator, you said that it was a person. Supporter,
yes.
Mm-hmm. A person who is on good terms with another, a person who is not hostile, that's a friend as we see it on a day-to-day basis. Now, let me say this. There's a scripture in Proverbs 18 and 24. Mm-hmm. And the reason we're saying all this, because we're going to come to a question and answer period, and then we'll be able to attach all of these meanings and everything to that particular question.
Okay.
It says, a man that has friends must show himself friendly. Mm-hmm. So, in other words, everything that you get, you have to be that. Mm-hmm. You know, are you looking for money? Then give money away. Are you looking for love? Then you have to love. Everything that you want and that you're looking for, you absolutely have to have that within you. So people who want, yes, friends, or don't want anybody to go against them and everything that they do, guess what? They're not good friends. They're not friendly. They're not friend material. So the scripture says, a man that has friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. So now, people say, well, you know, I'm not Christ. But what is a Christian? Christ like? You know, you have to take on his attributes. You have to do everything so that he does. You have to walk toward that or strive to be that. So is Jesus our real friend? Pardon me. It doesn't matter what we do. He doesn't kick us out, stomp us in our face, chastise us a bit, and come right back. So with that said, I'm going to ask a question. You wanted to say something. Go ahead. Did you want to say something?
I was going to ask a question, too. But I think I read something. It was a scripture over in the book of Proverbs. I think it said that a rich man has many friends.
Mm-hmm.
And a poor man doesn't.
They hate a poor man.
A poor man is so hated. I think the scripture stated that, in fact, his own family hates him.
Yes.
So could you distinguish?
Well,
that?
Let me say that sometimes I personally feel like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a person that I believe that God has blessed with many talents. And those talents, I don't mind using to give away or to bless people. But people are not my friend because of that. They would rather be a friend that have something to flash, material things. You know, and they treat you, you know, so they only want to be your friend if you can give them something.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's not a real friend. And sometimes we call ourselves, we might feel down and out about a person who does that, but I don't want to be a friend to somebody like that. I don't want them to be my friend. I don't want to have to depend on them for being my friend, because I promise you, if you've got a good friend, you want to be able to depend on them.
Mm-hmm.
So we have that set of friends who only want to be your friend if you have something to give them.
Wow.
I wanted to say, I don't, that scripture that Mr. Motivator was talking about, I don't think God made it like literal in the way that we say friends.
Mm-hmm.
The way that friends are supposed to be, I think he meant it as we say friends. Because, let me give you a little nugget. When you're on top, you have a lot of friends. But when you go to the bottom, you know who your real friends are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the truth. Because it's easy for people to grin in your face as long as you have something to offer. That's the way of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Just like she said, when you have something a person can suck off you, whether it's your talent, if they feel they're draining you for your ideas and it's boosting them up to the top and they're doing this, or they're draining you for whatever you have. It doesn't always have to be monetary.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that's included.
Mm-hmm.
If they feel they can drain you for everything you have,
mm-hmm.
then you say, oh, girl, that's my friend. Oh, girl, that's my friend. Get broke. or stop giving up your ideas. Cut off whatever supply they're sucking off of you.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see that either wither on out your face, or then they're going to show your true colors. They're going to either, girl, you know, I've been so busy. You know, I've had things to do. You know, you have those polite people who try to, you know, hoodwink and bamboozle you. Or there'll be one of those people who, oh, you're trying to be funny because they not get their supply sources gone. You know, you're going to get met with one of the attitudes. You're going to get the brush off, or you're going to get the attitude.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be one of the two. So I just had to, you know, put it out there so everybody to know. Remember that when you're on top, you got lots of friends. When you go to the bottom, you know who your real friends are. Bingo.
Mm-hmm. Okay. One question, and I'm asking this. Anybody can answer this one. Should friends go into business together?
Yes, if they're your real friend. There you go.
I would have to say no, not always, because a business relationship is kind of like it's a relationship. It's kind of like a marriage. And if you're going to go into a marriage, it's got to be the kind of person you can reason with, you can commensurate with. Same way with business. If you can reason, commensurate with this particular person, but there are friends that sometimes they have different personalities and they really don't see eye to eye, and it could be a conflict. And I think if it's a friend and you really don't see eye to eye, especially when it comes to business or your innovativeness, and you're going to struggle with voting and disagreeing with each other and not being able to move forward in anything, I would recommend not starting a business with a friend if it's going to cause conflict, because, of course, that will it could resolve the friendship.
Now,
okay?
You have to know what
now,
type of friend you have.
Now, let's talk truth here for a minute.
If that's your real friend, you should be able to. I hate to cut it off.
Anyone that the scripture says, how can you walk together except you agree? Mm-hmm. And if you and I don't agree, we're not friends. I have no business going into anything with you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we come off the market. We think because we've known somebody for a long time, that we can go into business together.
No, like the people that's on TV, it's a little show. Two women, they own a specialty brassiere shop.
Mm-hmm.
One person is on the front line. She used her talent to do the things like getting in the customers
mm-hmm.
and matching with the other person, handle the books and the organization. Everybody had a place. Know your place. You have to know, as a friend, you know your place.
Mm-hmm.
There's
you know what
things
your
you,
expertise
you know
is.
What, yeah, you know where you stand out. You know where your friends stand out. I think in every aspect, you should be able to do whatever with a real friend. If you can't do it with them, then not your real friend.
I agree with that to some degree, but I'm looking at, this is my question. People are on sometimes different levels of maturity. And you can have a friend and you can just love them, but that does not mean that they may be on the same level with you. Because some friends, I have some friends that are very intellectual. They have a high intellect. And I have some friends that their intellect is not very high in certain areas, and they're not
smart.
Comfortable. Yeah, they may have street smart, but they're not comfortable with dealing with intellectual things that are relating to books and education.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that they're not smart people. And so I think if you're not on the same level, even within a marriage, you know, it talks about when people are unequally yoked,
mm-hmm.
okay, that means that when people aren't on the same spiritual level,
mm-hmm.
It's going to be a conflict.
So now, and I think what we're missing here, when
mm-hmm.
we're talking about that,
go ahead.
Just because you love somebody or care for someone,
mm-hmm.
still doesn't mean they're your friend.
Okay.
So that's what you have to look at. Now, for me, why would I attach myself in the position that I'm in right now? Why would I attach myself to a newborn Christian yoking up his friends? Because we don't have anything in common.
You're not on the same level.
Yeah, we're not on the same level. So even though I love them, I'm nurturing to them, I'm building, I still would not take them in as my business partner.
Right. you know, they would have to grow some.
No, I agree. It's the same as you married them.
Right.
A 16-year-old young man.
Now, believe it or not, that's the thing right here. You keep mentioning marriage. See, I have that right there. That's the key. The reason we're unequally yoked with our marriages, we're not marrying our friends.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
You know, you have to marry your friend.
Yeah, your best friend.
You have to, and I don't mean, you know, you can find two people that love to undercut everybody so they can go along with each other. But it's going to come a point when, if that's not really your true friend, you're not going to be able to maintain that relationship for a length of time. You understand what I'm saying? I know some people right now don't care nothing for me, but if I got in a fight, oh, they'll be here at my aid. Well, what at? But not so much as that they're here to help me. They just like to fight.
Gotcha.
You understand what I'm saying?
Right. That's what their level of interest is on. So that means you all have a different level of maturity.
Yes. So those are the people that you would not count as friends that I would go into business with.
I got you. I have friends. There are some friends. Look, you got a friend, you very energetic, you like to work. And you got a friend and you love them, but they have a lazy streak.
Mm-hmm.
They don't like to do anything. Why would you team up with somebody
mm-hmm.
and, you know, you're gonna do all the work.
Yes.
And they're just going to lay back until when the money comes in. Hey, you know, we're partners. Okay, then they want their share.
And then because I know my strengths,
mm-hmm.
so just say
and
for
instance, weakness.
Yes, I know my weaknesses. And I'm not a salesman. Don't ask me to sell because I'm not a salesman.
Mm-hmm.
Don't ask me to go out and make sure that our deadbolts get sold. We may have a market on deadbolts or whatever. We have a deadbolt company. I can take care of the books. I can make sure all the invoices are paid. I can do all of the office work in the whole wide world, but don't ask me to go out and get clients because I'm not a salesman. So I would have to be in business with the person that's their lane. You're a salesman.
Okay.
You go out and you get these customers. You get the customers. You bring in the money. I'll put the money where it goes. You know, I'll make sure that we eat. I'll make sure that we all get a paycheck. I'll make sure that that's done. I'll keep our taxes done. Whatever it is that encompasses that office and keep that side running, I'm all for that. So I would have to go in business with a person who has a certain expertise for that business, and then I have and then where we would maybe disagree is if I crawl over in your lane and try to tell you how to satisfy that customer, then you crawl over in my lane and tell me how to do the books, and that's the only place the conflict would come. But other than that, so that's the only way friends should be able to go into business. Yeah,
you're right. Know your place, know your lane. And like you said, I'm glad you're looking at that, the commonality.
Mm-hmm.
Because say if you're a competitor, you like winning,
mm-hmm.
you love the spotlight, your best friend the same way. Y'all like to compete. Okay, you got to really think close. Should we form a business together?
Mm-hmm.
Should we form or should we come together in a marriage?
Yeah.
Because you're going to, instead of working with each other, you're attacking each other because you're trying to compete with each other.
Mm-hmm.
So I think sometimes people don't often look at their personality, their character, along with their best friend.
Exactly. And it goes to show sometimes we try to carry our negative friends everywhere.
Yeah.
You cannot carry negativity. Sometimes you're going to have to say,
mm-hmm.
I love you. Get off my leg with your negative self.
Yeah.
Go park it somewhere. Take some classes in positive living or whatever. Not that I don't love you, but you can't go past this point with
mm-hmm.
me. This is the end of the road. And I think that comes to this next question.
Where should friends draw the line?
Yes, you know a person that my friends know. There's certain things you do not say to me. It's not me. I'm more of, it's not what to say, it's how you say it. If you come at me the wrong way, you're going to get met with just as much force or even more than how you came at me. I don't agree with that. But learn how to talk to me.
Mm-hmm. I bet you have a good point. I'd like to piggyback off of it. This is a something that I use often, and I learned it from a friend. But I think this is a measuring cup that we can use in our relationships.
Mm-hmm.
When someone shows you their true colors, just believe them.
Believe them.
This will help you determine whether this is your friend or not. This will help you in your marriage. When someone shows you their true colors,
mm-hmm.
just believe them. Now, you're my best friend, okay? Every man I've gotten involved with, you come behind me and you start a relationship with them. When someone shows you their true colors, just believe them. If you're my friend,
yes.
you're my best friend,
yes.
why do you want to go and sleep with my husband or every man I get married to? You're my friend.
Mm-hmm.
Why do I want to come behind you when you're gone and I want to sleep with your wife?
Mm-hmm.
When someone shows you their true colors,
you gotta believe
them. You gotta believe them, and that will save you some heartache and trying to figure out, is this really my friend or not?
Listen, you went to some big examples. People don't look at the little red flags. For example, these two women in my office.
Mm-hmm.
I hope y'all not listening, but they were in my office. Both of them wear a lot of heels and nice shoes, bad shoes.
Yeah.
Well. One day this lady showed up, and I guess they hadn't had the conversation about her killing them. You know, she came in with these heels on. She was like, everybody was like, oh, your shoes are so nice. She was like, thank you. She was like, girl, I'm killing them with this. Now, her friend, and I use the hand quotations, friend,
mm-hmm.
for those you can't see me, friend,
mm-hmm.
Was looking at her shoes, and she was like, oh, those are nice. But you could look at her face and tell, like, oh, she thinks she's doing something. I'm going to kill him tomorrow. Watch and see. That girl came out with some shoes. I know that baby feet was hurt. But she strutted in those shoes. She said, I'm going to kill him. You could tell she was walking. She ain't going to outdo me, baby. The next day, her dress was shorter. Heels were taller. Hair was longer. Everything. So she can get the same kind of compliment.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of that girl sitting back saying, this girl must be jealous of me. She's not saying that. She was like, oh, now the other girl being a real friend, she's like, oh, those are real. Girl, you didn't tell me you bought some new shoes? Girl, you don't know about my shoe game. Now, is that a friend you want to outdo?
Mm-hmm. See, your those friends are not friends. And I'm going to tell you, I've reached a point
mm-hmm.
in my life.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry people might say it's old age. I just call it maturity. I refuse to have you in my life with drama.
That's not old age.
A year ago, I could put up with your drama. Right now, I want to put up with your drama. Maybe I can put up with it,
mm-hmm.
but I won't.
I won't.
Because you still want to bring drama into my life, run my blood pressure up, and still say you're my friend, you're lying, the truth ain't in you. You are not my friend. My friend will do things that's positive for me. They will do things to keep me settled rather than unsettled. I really feel sorry for young men. I look at Dijon. Ladies, Dijon is single. I'm his mother in acting, okay? Listen. I will tell him in a minute when he's dating a female that's full of drama.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know how you are affected, or if you don't know how everything is going in your life, you don't need the drama. You have females now that will do anything to cause drama.
What if this brother likes drama?
He shouldn't like drama.
I'm just using it as an example.
But there are some people who do.
Some people like drama.
And I feel like people who like drama,
they like seeing who's
they
gonna,
really
who's
don't.
Fight
These are them. People that, when you find people that love drama, mm-hmm. they have low self-esteem. They have issues.
Oh, well, that won't be this brother then.
No. so I tell, you know, bring your A game to the table, you know, because Dijon, he, you know, there's a certain caliber, and he doesn't need drama.
Yeah,
he's a young man. He works very hard.
I think
that people forget when it comes to everybody saying, "Oh, I need a true friend to meet." What a true friend are we being?
That's the key.
If you think about it, we all of us, until you get to a certain place within Christ, we all carry around some baggage, like bag ladies.
Yes.
Different circumstances and situations cause us to become certain people and do certain things. And a lot of times, I can take a past situation that has built me into who I am and say, if I see my friend do something, automatically it may not be what my perception is, but I automatically go to left field because that's what's in me, because I'm expecting that from somebody. I'm
mm-hmm.
not opening up to my friend and trusting my friend to be my friend. If you always have your guard up, you know the caliber of person you label with. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care. And also, quit out with the he say, she say. You can tell me anything. Don't tell me nothing. So you have some hard facts, come at me with something different.
Well, see,
and
that's right there. They don't let you put hearsay in court.
Exactly. You can't convict on circumstantial evidence, and that's how I feel. And, you know, the thing is, I'm the type of person is, I know earlier you heard Sister Boo say I don't have a filter. I really don't. Because if anything I think or say, I'm going to say it. I don't care who it is. It could be the president. I'm going to say what I want to say to him and how I want to say it. How it comes out, oh, well, that's just me. And I feel that way because I feel like if I'm not honest with who I am and say honestly what I feel, then I'm a lie. I'm a facade because I'm not being true to me. I'm not being true to what's going on me. If I have to put up a front to be your friend, then we can't be real friends anyway. And if I'm sitting up here and I take what my baggage is and I say, let's say, Sister Louise, my friend, and I see her, she do a hand across the table, and I know somebody has stolen from me before, I'm automatically, she is stealing from me. I saw her stealing from me. No, we got to get ourselves in check. It's a 360. You know, the company I work for says 360 coaching. That's how I feel. It goes around. You have to not only check your friend, but check yourself. Because
mm-hmm.
a lot of the baggage that we carry and we bring along, we'll either run our friends off or we're going to find ourselves surrounded by people who are really not our friends and we've been hoodwinked and bamboozled the entire time.
Mm-hmm. And that's right there what she said. Answers the question. Where or should friends draw the line? So you draw the line right there. You cut them off.
And I want to piggyback off of what you said. I like what you said about being a hoodwinked and bamboozled.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we allow somebody to sell us some goods or sell us some baggage. And because of our deception, our false deceptions of ourselves, to give you an example, some of us, we want to feel that special attention. And because we want this special attention, we sometimes don't know where to draw the line, and we allow ourselves to go to the extreme in order to get that attention. Because Deshaun's friend said, hey, if anybody looks at my man, I'm going to beat him up. I'm going to shoot him. Okay? It gives Deshaun a warm fuzzy. You know, anybody looks at my girlfriend, I'm going to break both of their legs. And it gives them a warm fuzzy, and they're like, you would do that for me? But they don't realize they should have drawn the line, because if someone is willing to go that far to hurt or harm someone just because they looked at you, you will allow this friend to bring in the baggage of jealousy,
mm-hmm.
and that thing.
That's just crazy. Let me say this. You're talking about, I was in that predicament when I was very young.
Mm-hmm.
This is before I met my husband.
Mm-hmm.
That was a good-looking guy that asked me out. And we went out on a date. And, you know, we went out 5 or 6 times. But we went to a club one night. Now, you're talking about the warm fuzzies.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get that from somebody that crazy. I don't get a warm fuzzy from that because a gentleman passed me and bumped me in a crowded club.
Okay.
And the guy that was there, did he hurt you? He went and he told her, hey, do you know you bumped her? And the guy said, well, I'm sorry. I said, you know, chill.
Yeah.
But he was that way. He just, don't hurt her. Don't touch her. Don't do this. That didn't
crazy.
Give me a warm fuzzy.
No,
I stopped seeing that, bro.
You're right. It's crazy. But see, we see on the news how many people get murdered. They think that this guy is their friend, and all of a sudden, this friend who's insanely jealous ends up they're in prison,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes they even give the impression, hey, you're not my friend the way you treat me, I'm gonna leave, and that person's like, oh no, you leave me, you're not gonna live, and it doesn't take much for someone to get caught in a situation like that, even though it's crazy.
In order for you to be in that situation, you have to have some shortcomings yourself.
Oh, yeah.
To do that.
And the police call it domestic.
People know that mess. Okay, before we have about 13 minutes left, and there's two more questions I want to ask.
Mm-hmm.
And this one says, this question here, if you have a friend, do you keep secrets that are detrimental to your friend's well-being? Go ahead.
No, you do not. The only time I would ever keep a secret from my friend is if I heard somebody talking about them. I would never tell my friend, or I would let them know they're really not, don't talk, don't get in their face if they're grinning in their face. But what I do is check whoever says something about my friend real quick, fast, and hairy. What you say? Okay, now I beat them down, then I'll let my friend know why you shouldn't be their friend. Not exactly what was said to hurt them, but anything that is detrimental to the livelihood or health or success of my friend, you do not hold that in. I don't care how sick it may sound or whatever. If you catch her boyfriend at the HIV clinic getting medicine, you don't hold a secret. You take the picture and you send it to her and tell her.
Question. What do y'all think?
I think it's a catch-22. I think sometimes we got to look at the friend, look at the state of mind they're in, what are they going through with. Because if you have a friend who's already under a lot of pressure and they've dealt with being in the hospital for maybe mental illness or some type of attack in the mind, and you find out that their baby that they love so dearly, there was some paperwork that shows that that's not really their baby. That's not really your son or your daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe at that particular time, I mean, they need the truth, but maybe at this particular time, they could already be dealing with suicidal thoughts or whatever.
I agree.
And you give them that information, and it could cause them to harm themselves or something. So I think
I don't agree. If that's my friend, I want my friend to know the truth. And what I need to do as that person's friend is be there for them. If that means I have to take a leave after some work, and I'm going to stay by your side to make sure and put you on suicide watch, if I have to get you admitted on the 72-hour hold to a psychiatric ward and come visit you every day so you get your mind together and also help you find out what happened to your real baby, help you deal with the fact that you have a baby that you love that's not yours, whatever the situation, I'm supposed to be there for my friend. I don't care if she loopy or not.
I understand it, but what if your friend's dad told you, hey, don't tell them I'm really not their dad?
Then what
they
tell
me is it your responsibility to go and that person said, hey, don't tell them, I'm telling you. Is it your responsibility to go and tell that friend that, hey,
well, now,
I have a question for you. How would you feel as my friend if you knew that I knew something that detrimental and I did not share that information with you? I would feel betrayed. You could, there's nothing you could say to me. Because if you tell me you're my friend, that's something you should have shared. Because at the same token, why did the daddy come tell me anyway? Because I'm sure going to tell my friend.
Well,
I don't know
if it's going to happen.
These are things
I might
that
not
you,
wanna,
yeah,
you know,
these are
if it's going to happen, I love this young.
Mm-hmm.
I raised him up. He's my son. I don't want to know. I couldn't care less if he's not really my son, because I love him as far as I'm concerned. He's my son.
Yeah.
And he's my
and
son.
And I believe that when you come to things like that,
yeah,
that's a call,
mm-hmm,
that you have to make. That takes some soul searching.
There you go. That's what I, that was my point.
Like
that was my point.
But now,
so that's something we got to take time to.
Mm-hmm. But, and the thing like this, when I say, should we keep secrets?
Yeah.
If you knew your friend robbed a bank, would you keep it? Would you keep it secret?
That's something. That's something would have to be really thought about to be.
If I knew they robbed a bank, I would. In my shoes, I would go with them to turn themselves.
It would be best to. But if they're doing drugs, it may mean you may want to give them some thought and make sure that you're doing it in a way that you're protected, because if they're on drugs and they consider you your friend, and, hey, you ratted on me, we're going to kill them now. Okay, so I think it's sometimes you got to give them things some thought as to how you're going to do it.
Okay, we're going to go. We got 8 minutes. Last question. Should friends climb the ladder of success together?
Only if they can.
If I become very successful, should I take my friend up with me?
If your friend is able to handle that, it's a level of friend. I have good friends.
Okay, then we talking about real friends.
No, but that's what I said that earlier. Your levels of maturity.
There should be some kind of. She might can't, you know, speak to the people, because her name, you know, is LaQuintia. She might can't speak to the people, but she can do something in the background. She can do something.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking
it's
about.
Something.
I don't mean.
Yeah,
I'm saying, that's what I'm saying. You take, if I got my friend, DeJohn and I are friends, and all of a sudden I become this multimillionaire.
Hey, look, you and DeJohn are friends, and look, DeJohn is going around.
He's the richest head janitor there is.
DeJohn may be your friend, but look, if DeJohn is going around terrorizing folks in the neighborhood and he's stealing and he's a thug, and
he wouldn't be my friend.
You're going to bring him in there with you?
No. See, that's the point. We have to worry about who's our friend. I'm going to tell you, and I don't know if this is true, it just seemed like it to me. Oprah and Gail were friends.
Yeah.
And I believe Oprah took Gail up with her. And I don't understand how it couldn't be. If I have a friend and I love them and I say that I love them, yes, I'm going to provide for them. I really would. And that's the one thing I admire,
well, I admire
about
that,
Oprah in their relationship.
Well, I admire that about Oprah myself, because I believe that she did do some things to try to bless her friend Gail.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what friends do. But again, I think she gave us some thought. You don't put a friend in something that they can't handle.
Oh, no, you don't do that.
But
my thing of it is,
yeah.
Here I am a multimillionaire, close to a billionaire,
mm-hmm,
and my friend's still living in the projects and still on food stamps and still, you know.
No, I agree with you on that. You definitely
no.
You
got to make room.
You make room
somewhere.
You make room for a good friend. But I think what happened with if I understand correctly, years ago with MC Hammer, when Hammer was advancing, he took his friend. He brought his friends in with him, and he began to encompass lots of friends. He brought in a lot of friends and family, and therefore it affected his financial stability, because he had everybody on his payroll, and he ended up having to file bankruptcy. Sometimes you can't take all your friends with you.
That's the point. All of those people were not his friends. He knew them, but they weren't friends. See, there's a difference in your friend. My friend is somebody I can confide in. My friend would not take. If I was a billionaire, my friend wouldn't take advantage of my money. I could tell them, go do this and go do that. They wouldn't take advantage of me.
In Hamlin's case, I don't think he bought in a lot of people that took advantage of him. I think he just bought in more people than he had the income to supply all the
exactly.
on the payroll.
They were not his friends. I look at people on Facebook. Who got 2,000 friends? You know 2,000 people, but they're not your friends. So the point of it, my point is this. When it comes to friends, friend is somebody you trust. You know them. You know them inside out. You know their dirtiest, darkest secret, and they know your dirty and darkest secret. But you still uplift each other. You tell each other the truth. You do all these things for them, and they do the same thing for you. But just because I know Mr. Crab up the street, but Mr. Crab is not my friend just because I know him.
But right now, if I ask DeJohn, who's your best friend? Would it take him a few minutes to think? But I said, Lois, who's your best friend? Would it take you a few minutes if I ask Louise? Can you rattle off your best friend just that quick?
Mm-hmm.
Many of us have a best friend that we can share everything with?
That's the idea of this show, is so that we will understand, and I call you friend. We need to be cognizant of who we call friend. Mm-hmm. And we need to be aware that the person I call friend is really my friend.
Mm-hmm.
Because whether you know it or not, people who are married, your spouse should be your best friend.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't have a friend with Mr. Motivator. You shouldn't be a friend with the duck man up the street. That shouldn't be your best friend. Your wife should be your best friend.
Sure, but I know a lot of people that are married that they can't tell a lot of personal things or whatever to their spouses.
Exactly. They misconstrue what you say.
Because they got the wrong girl.
They would go use it against them. They would hope. My question is to Shannon also. Shannon, if I ask you right now, who is your best friend? Would it take you, could you wrap it off just that quick, or would it take you a couple minutes to think?
You have to know.
That's not typical with the majority
people.
Of people.
Because
most people will have to say, they can't say, Jessica's my best friend, Kim is my best friend. You know, it would take them a few minutes.
It would take a few minutes.
Because they don't know
who their friend is. They don't know what a true friend
because
is.
Because they're still having to cycle through that.
So we have a few seconds left on our show. I'm going to say that I've enjoyed this, and this really did pique something within me. And I'm challenging all of you. Our title says that I call you friend. Just make sure that the person we call friend is really our friend.
Hmm.
And make sure that when you're looking for a friend, make sure you find friend in you first. That's what you have. You have to be a good friend before you can receive me as a good friend. So we need to keep that in mind. We need to think about everything that we have thought of. And believe it or not, having a good friend makes your life better. It makes your everyday life better. Everything that you do, you can confide and understand, and that confidant, that comrade, you know, just like your Navy SEAL. Navy SEALs don't leave their comrades. They stick together.
I agree with you. And I like to say, if you got a good friend, be a good friend.
That's it.
Take care of that friend, because a friend is a precious thing if you got one.
thank you all for sharing the show. We may come back with another show. Seems like we kind of piqued a lot of interest here today. So thank you, everyone, my staff, for everything they put together. Thank you, and just make sure on tomorrow when I look at you and say, and I call you friend, make sure you're my real friend, okay? All right, thank you, and good night.